Live from Toronto, this is Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman, brought to you in part by Microsoft on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Tech Talk, a technology show for the rest of us. Oh, sure, we cover the latest in internet trends, computers, televisions, portable music players, and cameras, but everything is explained in plain English and with none of that technical jargon. Honest. Tech Talk is brought to you by Microsoft Zune, the next generation in portable entertainment that combines music, photo, videos, a radio, and wireless sharing features. The Microsoft Zune is now available. Visit zune.ca for more info. That's Z-U-N-E. Well, usually on this show, we talk about how technology can enrich your life, whether you're into photography, music, television, movies, and so on. How amazing technology is usually the spin that we've got. But today, we're going to take a bit of a different look and talk about how technology can also be dangerous with those who abuse technology, such as malicious types on the internet that use the medium as predators to young and naive web surfers. We know how innocent and trusting kids are, so when do you start to warn them and protect them against cyber stalkers and other threats out in cyberspace? How do you best protect your children? How do you protect them when they understand this stuff better than you do? They get computers and the internet and webcams, and they're teaching it to you. So how on earth can you protect them? And how do you enforce what your kids are doing or where they're going or who they're talking to when you're not there 24/7 and no one expects you to be? So throughout this hour, we're going to learn some invaluable tips and tools on better protecting kids on the internet, whether they're just getting started, like those who are 6 or 7, all the way up to tweens and older teens as well. We'll have a few special guests to join us this hour, and I know you'll have many questions for them, and this is your chance to have those questions answered. And you know the drill on this show. There are no dumb questions, so I encourage you to call in with anything that's on your mind related to child-proofing the internet. Again, that can also mean tweens and teens. Our first of two distinguished guests joining us on today's Tech Talk for the entire hour. We've got Paul Gillespie, who has more than 25 years of law enforcement leadership under his belt, including the development of the world-renowned Child Exploitation Section of the Toronto Police Service and the Child Exploitation Tracking System through a Toronto Police Service partnership with Microsoft Canada. And speaking of Microsoft Canada, our second guest throughout the hour is Bruce Cowper, Security Lead at Microsoft Canada. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining us. Both Paul and Bruce will talk about what the threats are out there in cyberspace and how to best deal with them, all in plain English, so you need not have a computer engineering degree to apply the advice given this hour. And I'll tell you about today's prizes in a moment. We've got two prize packs, but to call up with your questions or comments about child-proofing the internet, I'm sure you have questions, or perhaps you want to suggest what worked for you and your family. The numbers are 416-872-1010, toll-free 1-800-561-CFRB if you're outside of the GTA, or *8255, that's star talk on your cell phone, also a free call. So let me tell you about our prizes, and then I'll tell you about a special guest that will also be joining us on the line after 12:30 for a few minutes. What we're going to do for prizes today is the last caller before 12:30 and the last caller of the show just before 1 p.m. will each win a prize pack. The first one will be a computer mouse designed for gamers. So if you're a computer gamer, we've got the Microsoft Habu mouse. It's a laser gaming mouse. This is a partnership between Microsoft and a peripheral company called Razer that makes very precise, accurate, and comfortable mice. And we're going to pair that up with a book called Microsoft Vista Help Desk. It is a 500-page book written by Andy Walker to help you better get to know the latest operating system from Microsoft. The last caller before 1 p.m. is going to win the Microsoft Digital Media Keyboard 3000. This is an ultra-thin keyboard with separate media controls to play all your videos and music and photos, as well as one-touch access to your favorite search engine, your favorite email program, all on the keyboard itself. And we're going to also pair that up with a copy of Windows Vista Help Desk. That's going to go to the last caller for the day, just as a little thank you for calling in today. The numbers again, 416-872-1010, toll-free 1-800-561-1010. CFRB or *8255 on your cell phone. Now, after 12:30, after that break there, we're going to also have a conversation on the phone with Wayne Banks, a regular parent whose teenage daughter was subjected to an online predator. And he'll share his an emotional story with us and talk about what he did about it and what you can do as well to prevent a similar situation from happening in your home. That's after 12:30, a chat with Wayne Banks. But for now, we're very privileged to have two distinguished guests with us for the hour to answer your questions and mine about best protecting your children or grandchildren from the internet. We've got Paul Gillespie and Bruce Cowper, security lead at Microsoft Canada. Well, again, welcome to the show, gentlemen. You know, Paul, I'll first start with a question directed to you. And you know, and I've interviewed you in the past for some things for Global TV and from articles that I've written, and you've scared the pants off of me with, you know, the threats that are out there in cyberspace. You once gave me some stats about how many children have been asked to meet in person by other people on the internet, and how many, you know, actually, admitted to this, because obviously this is something that kids could even lie about, but it was even scary what that stat was. So what are some of the threats out there in cyberspace, and how prevalent are some of these risks?
Well, first let me say that it was by scaring sort of the pants off you and other people and parents in the in Canada over the the last 5-6 years, it was necessary to wake people up a bit, because it was obvious that people weren't understanding those concerns. The problem now is I'm trying to somewhat unscare people to the point that they appreciate the tremendous uses of technology and how it can impact their lives, all the while being aware that there are in fact bad guys out there. But no more so than if our kids are going to the store or the mall or going downtown for the day. We have to street-proof them. That street-proofing has to start early. But at the end of it all, there are people out there on the internet who will, spend days, weeks, and months trying to identify and then potentially pursue as predators vulnerable children. And these kids who are starry-eyed at this new technology, who are 7 and 8 years old and allowed to roam free on the streets of the internet without any supervision, and we just have to pay a little bit of attention to that. Stats out of the United States about 6 months ago by the United States Attorney General said that they thought that there was about 50,000 predators online at any given time around the world. I'm not quite sure how you measure that, but I will tell you there are a number of undercover operations in the world right now which are they're overwhelming with those that would be involved in sharing and trading and distributing child pornography.
Right, because the answer is not to ban the internet, because these kids, and I've got three kids, 6, 6, and 4, they're going to be relying on this medium a lot more than I did growing up, not just for information such as homework help, but as a social tool. Because, I mean, if they're not chatting on Instant Messenger and Facebook and all that, then they're not really plugged into how kids are communicating these days. And entertainment as well, as we gravitate online. It's, less and less about the TV and more about the PC. So I agree that banning them isn't the issue. It's street-proofing them, and I liked how you put that, because just as we tell our kids not to talk to strangers in real life, a lot of the same advice applies in a virtual world. So the answer is not to ban them altogether, but to do what we can with advice and maybe some software, which I'm going to ask Bruce about in a moment, how to do our best. Obviously, there's nothing that's 100% foolproof.
No, but people have to understand the statistics of an Ipsos Reid survey about a year ago showed that about 85% of our kids have internet access outside the home. So the concept of grounding them or unplugging the computer, we just have to dismiss it. It's simply ineffective. They are walking around, by and large, mostly with computers in their pockets. We need to start teaching our kids these internet safety rules, starting at about grade one, when they start using computers in the same way that we deal with other antisocial things in society in regards to smoking or drug use or drinking and driving. We have to deal with it in the exact same manner. We have to talk to our kids, set some ground rules, but understand that kids are not scared of privacy issues. It means nothing to them. They don't understand why adults are so concerned, because in their minds, you can find anything you want on the internet, including anybody's identity. And the truth is, they're pretty close to right.
And that's what we love about children, that they are trusting and they are open and they have nothing to fear until adults remind them that there are things that you don't want to do, like upload a picture of yourself on Facebook standing in front of the words of your school, like in front of a sign, they wouldn't think twice about doing that. So, Bruce, we have to take a short break, but when we return, I want to talk to you a bit about how software can help, because we're not always there 24/7. So I want to talk to you a bit about your role at Microsoft as security lead, and hopefully you can give us some tips, including how Windows Vista can help, because I understand there's some parental control tools built into the new operating system. And I do want to encourage our listeners to call up if they have any questions about child-proofing the internet. And again, I say child, but it could also be for tweens and teens, as you'll hear with an emotional story from a father who went through this in their family in a few moments. So I encourage you to call. We've got some great prizes. 416-872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB, star 8255, a free call on your cell phone. Our guests are Paul Gillespie and Bruce Cowper. We'll be right back with more Tech Talk in moments, but it is 1217.
You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk 1010 CFRB. Brought to you in part by Microsoft. To talk to Mark, call 416-872-1010. Toll free 1-800-561-CFRB. Or StarTalk. It's a free call on your cellular.
How on earth can you enforce what your children are doing on the internet when they understand the technology better than you do? And you work. And you're, you know, they may stay up later than you if they're older kids. This is a very difficult problem, a generational gap, if you will, in today's day and age in Canada, because the kids are so comfortable with computers and the internet and web cameras and cell phones that they're often teaching the parents how to best use this stuff. So how could you, you know, be what you're supposed to be, which is a protector, a guardian against all the ills of the world in an online world that the kids understand better than you. And this is one of the struggles that we've got today. And to help us understand what these threats are in cyberspace today and to offer some advice on better protecting our kids and older kids as well, we've got Paul Gillespie on the line. He's got more than 25 years of law enforcement experience under his belt. And he was also critical in developing the world-renowned child exploitation section with the Toronto Police Services. As well, we've got Bruce Cowper on the line. He's the security lead at Microsoft Canada. Welcome back to the program, gentlemen. We're going to go to the lines and get some questions directed to you. I also want to talk this hour, by the way, about not just about predators online, but how to also protect your kids from accessing, you know, hate sites and pornography websites, because I understand that there's some tools and other tips on reducing those odds. I'm not going to say eliminating the chances of them visiting these inappropriate sites, but reducing them. As a reminder to our listeners, we've got some prizes to give away. The last caller before the 12:30 break is going to win a Microsoft Habu gaming mouse with a copy of a 500-page book called Windows Vista Help Desk. And the last caller before 1 p.m. Is going to win the Microsoft Digital Media Keyboard 3000. It's a very fancy keyboard that gives you one-touch access to all of your music and photos, your favorite search engine, headphones, anything that you want to use for entertainment or information. It's there with the book as well. Another prize pack to the last caller before one. To have your say on News Talk 1010 CFRB or to ask questions about better protecting your children, 416-872-1010, toll free 1-800-561-CFRB, star 8255, a free call on your cell phone. Also, in about 10 minutes, we're going to be chatting with Wayne Banks, an accountant by trade who had a tween daughter who was subjected to an online predator. And he's going to share with us his story and what he did about it. That's in a few minutes. So again, welcome back to the show, Paul and Bruce. Bruce, actually, before we go to the next caller, I did want to ask you about the role of software in all of this. Is working for Microsoft Canada, I'm not sure if your advice is tailored to Windows Vista, which has some parental tools, or if you have any other suggestions on how to install something to help us when we're not there.
There's a couple of things to think about. I mean, Paul brought up a comment earlier that most of the kids have access to the internet outside of the home. And so tools, as you quite rightly said, are not necessarily a panacea, but they're a great way for you to start taking back a little bit of control and understanding what your kids are doing online. So there's actually lots of pieces of software that come under the guise of parental controls that help you, whether it's take back control by restricting the types of sites the kids can and can't go to, or even just to give you an idea about what they're actually doing. And to be honest, most of these are platform independent. So whether you're using a PC, a Mac, a Linux box, whether you're using any technology, some of these tools are really worthwhile. So as you mentioned, Vista contains parental controls tools, and those really help you to understand and control when the kids can use them, the types of places they're going to, the games they can play, all that sort of thing.
And you can also request a report as to where they went to, you're saying.
And that's really what's useful for parents, is because when I talk to a lot of them, they'll ask their kids, so what are you doing online, what sites are you going to? But just to be able to understand exactly what they are doing can be a really big help within those reports.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to John, who's been waiting on his cell. Thanks for calling, John. You're on News Talk 1010.
Hi. I find all of this a part of parents' noia. Stranger danger is the most overblown thing in the world. You teach your kids three things. Don't put your credit card up, don't put up your picture, and you're pretty well done everything you need to do. And all of the other stuff is just, you know, the person you worry about is Uncle Fred. It's not some stranger out there. Almost, I used to work in the child abuse services, and almost all of it was with relatives.
Well, okay, so thanks for the call, John. You know, I'd like you, Paul, to address that. Is that all there is to it? Don't put up your picture and credit card and you're fine?
Well, you know, interestingly, he raises a very good point. By and large, the greatest threat to our kids are people that they know, people that are trusted within the family unit, or people that they are, you know, somehow left with to babysit or be taken care of. However, kids do need to know about the not posting the picture, not posting the credit information, but the fact is they all are. And when we have to acknowledge that because of MySpace and Facebook, they are all going to do it anyways, we can't stop them because they won't stop because all their friends are doing it. So this is where the education piece has to fit in. But he raises a very good point in regards to the biggest form of danger to us.
Yeah, I might disagree that it's overblown, because I think you can't be too defensive about or too lackadaisical about the threats out there. You know, I think you'd better be safe than sorry. And if you've got little, you know, if you've got kids who access the internet like I do, and I'm not always over their shoulder, there's a few other things that it's, I don't think it's as simple as just not putting up a credit card or a photo. There's also kids that give out the personal information. And as we'll hear from our guest after this break, you know, they can also meet that person in real life without you knowing about it and never come back home. It may happen less than some abuse by a family member, but it happens in cyberspace. What we're going to do is, Ahmed, stay on the line. I'm going to give you the prize after the break. We're going to get to your question. Then we're going to chat with Wayne. We have to take a short break. So when we return, we're going to talk with Wayne Banks, and then, of course, more with Paul and Bruce about tips on childproofing the internet. So stay with us, Ahmed, and everybody else as well. It's 12:28. We'll be right back with more Tech Talk.
You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk 1010 CFRB. Brought to you in part by Microsoft. To talk to Mark, call 416-872-1010. Toll free 1-800-561-CFRB. Or StarTalk. It's a free call on your cellular.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. The show is brought to you by Microsoft Zune, the next generation in portable entertainment that fuses music, photo, videos, a radio, and wireless sharing features. The Microsoft Zune, that's Z-U-N-E, is now available. Visit zune.ca for more information. Speaking of Zune, we usually talk about great gadgets on this show, all the cool and exciting and enriching things you can do with technology. But today it's a bit of a departure. We're talking about how to best protect your children on the internet, something that I try to do at least once a year or so to remind parents and guardians out there that there are some issues. There are some, as you likely know, if you surf the web yourself, not only are there inappropriate websites that you don't want falling upon young eyes, but there are also malicious types out there who will try to contact and communicate with your child, and in some cases, ask to see them, you know, if they're in the Toronto area, actually get together outside of the virtual world, which can be a pretty scary thing. And kids are very trusting. They think if just because they've talked to somebody for a month or two online that, A, they're a friend, and B, that they are who they think they or who they say they are. In a few moments, we're going to talk again with Paul Gillespie, who's had more than a quarter of a century experience under his belt in this space, as well as Bruce Cowper, the security lead at Microsoft, sharing more tips and advice and on what to do to help best protect your children. And we'll go back to the lines and give away all those great prizes again in a few moments. But I wanted to take some time to chat with Wayne Banks, who's on the line right now, a regular parent and an accountant by trade, who had a very upsetting, had found out that his tween daughter was doing something on the internet that he was not aware of and unfortunately paid a price for not being too familiar with what was going on. And I want to let Wayne explain the story to us because this can happen to anyone. Wayne, are you're joining us?
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for having me today. Thank you again for joining us this hour. I want to talk for about 5-10 minutes about your story and what you did about it. So please, you've got the floor. Please share your story that happened in your home.
Well, you did a pretty good job there. You nailed it right on the head. Kids basically are online chatting in a benign chat room, and they think they're safe, and they really don't know who they're talking to. And in my case, my daughter was having an online relationship with an older man who eventually convinced her to run away from home.
How old was your daughter at the time?
She was 13 at the time.
Okay.
And we found out what was going on basically after she left. So it was a difficult time, a long time, about 7-8 months before we even knew where she was. She was in contact with us periodically by telephone, but we never really knew where she was. And that's, I guess, my message to parents, that once your kids leave, there's very little you can do to get them back, because in our situation, the police told us there was nothing we could do because she was in periodic contact with us. So she's not considered a missing person, and they wouldn't file a missing persons report. We had to literally find her by mistake, meaning my daughter made a mistake and phoned us from a number we could trace, and we found her that way.
And even then, the authorities said there's not...
basically, if I got involved or tried to do anything or tried to do the things a normal father would want to do, I was told point blank, I'll be thrown in jail.
So
I'll be the one in trouble.
Despite her age, the fact that she was in contact with you and it was her choosing to leave, there's nothing you could do. I find that
appalling. Well, basically, the police...
Appalling.
It is appalling. Basically, the police saying she's old enough, regardless of any law there might be in place, she's old enough to make up her own mind, and we can't compel her to leave. My daughter is pregnant at 15 years old, and she was 14 or 13 when she began having sex with this fellow, and the police told me that they don't consider it rape because it was consenting, and since she would be the principal witness and she couldn't be compelled to testify, they wouldn't lay charges. Well, my answer was, what happens if a 5-year-old gets in trouble? Do you need the 5-year-old consent to have charges laid? No. It's the same thing to me. So I don't know if the police, I guess they viewed it as a typical domestic, but it was not. It was very serious and still is very serious.
Now, Wayne, did you see any signs that, in her behavior or her performance at school, anything that gave you an indication?
There
was a sign that something's going on.
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20, and it's easy to pick out what was going on after the fact. The school marks dropped, the attendance at school went down to nil, the arguing with us, things like that. Normal behavior, what we considered normal for children, went out the window.
Yeah, and I was going to say that seems normal for a 13-year-old to, the marks drop, the fighting with the parents. That's what teenagehood is all about. But in retrospect, you should have realized there was more going on.
Yeah, I found out through an accident my daughter's laptop broke, and she gave it to me to fix, and I had unfettered access to the laptop, and I found out what was going on with the chat rooms. So, obviously steps were taken at that point to limit internet or chat room access.
So what advice...
And it still wasn't enough.
So Wayne, for anybody listening now, what advice would you give if for anybody that feels they may be in a similar circumstance with a tween or a teenager that's not acting the same, spending a lot of time online behind closed doors? And what did you do about it after you give some general tips, please?
Some general tips? The government and the police have some great tip bulletins you can pick up, and limiting the time, watching what they're doing, being involved in what they're doing, asking to meet their friends online, things like that. The most important thing, obviously, that I believe in is to limit the computer time. I'm not against computers by any means. I think our society couldn't function without them, but I'm not sure our society is sophisticated enough to handle what a computer can offer us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the technology changes so rapidly that I don't believe human beings can keep up with it, particularly parents my age.
Mm-hmm.
So when this all happened with my daughter, I wondered, I got angry, and why wasn't there software that kept the computer turned off?
Yeah, so let's talk about Easy Off. We've got about a minute left.
Okay,
this is something you've developed.
It's a very simple software. It was developed with guys like me in mind, just a dad that doesn't know a lot about computers. It turns off the computer at a preset time. It allows the children a certain amount of computer time set up by the parent. It's an on time and an off time. Once it shuts off, it can't be restarted by the child until the next on time. And, of course, the parent can override that if the child needs more time on the computer. And from there, we developed Easy Internet Timer, where we just limited in access to Internet connections.
Mm-hmm.
And they could put a timer on those. And once your time allotment for the day is come up, that's it for the day, unless your parent allows you more time. It's simple software, easy for parents to get to work. It's all called Easy Off for that reason. It had to work for me. I had to be able to set it up very simply and very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And the website
is... That's what we came up with.
Yeah, and that sounds great. And it's Easy, as in E and the letter Z, Off. And the website is yoursafetyguide.com.
That's it. There you got it.
So yoursafetyguide.com. And how much is the software?
$30.
$30. All righty. Thank you very much,
okay.
Wayne, for sharing
you
your
for
story
having
with
me.
Us. Thank you.
Thank you.
About that. I really appreciate your time, and thank you again, Wayne. And we've got to take another short break. When we return, more with Paul and Bruce, giving some more advice on best protecting the children who are using the internet in your home. But it is 12:40.
You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk 1010 CFRB. Brought to you in part by Microsoft. To talk to Mark, call 416-872-1010. Toll free 1-800-561-CFRB. Or StarTalk. It's a free call on your cellular.
We're talking about child-proofing the internet today. If anybody would like these tips to print off at home, send me an email, techtalk@cfrb.com. That's T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K @cfrb.com. And I will send you a couple of links. One of them is an article that I just wrote last week for Simpatico MSN with 10 tips on to better protect your kids from the World Wide Web, as well as our previous guest, Wayne Banks, his website, yoursafetyguide.com. Right in the middle of the site, you'll see a button that says Online Safety Rules for Children. There's 13 tips you can read or print out, and I'd be happy to send those to you directly as well. This is what we're talking about today. I encourage our listeners to call in with questions about child-proofing the internet, 416-872-1010, toll-free 1-800-561-CFRB, *8255, a free call on your cell phone. We're going to talk to Ahmed in a moment and give him our first prize pack. Don't forget the last one before 1 p.m. is going to be the Microsoft Digital Media Keyboard 3000, a very fancy computer keyboard for your PC or Mac, as well as a book called Windows Vista Help Desk, a 500-plus page book written by Andy Walker on getting to know the operating system. All right, let's go back to the lines. We've got Paul Gillespie and Bruce Cowper from Microsoft joining us. Gentlemen, thank you again for joining us.
Hi, you're welcome.
Thanks again. I believe Ahmed is on the line now, who has three children of his own, and he is the winner of our first prize pack. Thanks for holding on, Ahmed.
Thank you, sir.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, my question is almost answered, but still I want to ask. I have three children, age 9, 8, 9, and 16. Whenever I enter the house, so they are online and they shut off the computer, I don't know what's going on. Is it any way to I can go and check where or who they are talking to or who they are
mm-hmm.
chatting to, and if I can go in by myself and check?
Sure. Bruce?
Sure. So the parental controls, so as we talked about with, say, Windows Vista, those are built in, but there are parental controls for all of the different operating systems. If you go onto any of the search engines and do a search for parental controls, You'll find lots of software. And the biggest thing that those allow you to do is to understand who the kids are talking to, the types of conversations they're having, and even, as was mentioned earlier, being able to control when they can access the machine. So definitely, if you want to have peace of mind, do a search to understand what they're actually doing.
Mm-hmm. You can also check the internet history quite easily as well, unless your kids are savvy enough to know how to clean that out. Now, Paul, speaking of Ahmed and his three kids being 8, 9, and 16, you know, we always hear rules about child-proofing the internet for little kids, putting the computer in a central area in the home, like a high-trafficked area, like a kitchen, and sitting down with your kids and making surfing the internet a family activity. But do the rules change when they're tweens and teens?
Yeah, I think so. In my personal life with my kids, I often thought that, you know, once they hit high school, they better be in possession of some, you know, good rules and be aware of the issues on the internet, because I'm not going to have nearly as much control for all the obvious reasons. So I think once they do start, you know, as a 14-year-old or so in grade 9, I think we just have to, from that point on, be starting to rely more so on their good judgment and hopefully have done our job getting up to that point.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, you're on News Talk 1010. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, that kind of leads to where I was going. I'm a teacher, and we have line troubles. We have a situation where we can block out with a firewall things like Facebook and MSN and that sort of thing, but the kids seem to find a way to override it.
Yeah, I have that problem in my own house at one particular time. You can only do so much, and I teachers are not in the most enviable positions, and certainly in high school, where they're expected to be truthfully miracle workers when it comes to computers, because often many of their students are so savvy, as we've already discussed, that they can simply get through any filters or anything that is put on the computer, and once they open them up or tell other kids to do it, I think it just reverts back to hopefully those kids have been street-proofed at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. We got to take one more break, and when we return, we're going to go back to the lines and take more calls about child-proofing the internet and talk more with our guests, Paul and Bruce. So let's hear from you. 416-872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB. If you're outside of the GTA, or star 8255, a free call on your cell phone. We'll be right back with more Tech Talk.
This is Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk 1010 CFRB. Brought to you in part by Microsoft. Got a question for Mark? Call 416-872-1010. Toll free 1-800-561-CFRB. Or Star Talk. It's a free call on your cellular.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This show is brought to you by Microsoft Zune, the next generation in portable entertainment that combines music, photos, videos, radio, and wireless sharing features. The Microsoft Zune is now available. Visit zune.ca for more info, or visit your favorite local electronics store to try one out yourself. So we are chatting today about child-proofing the internet, about helping to reduce the odds that your children will be communicating with people they don't know, accessing inappropriate websites. Part of the solution, of course, is education, sitting down with your kids, explaining that there are threats out there, that there are people who say they're somebody who they're not, who they're not. And, there's software out there that can block inappropriate websites. There's other tips about where to place the computer in the home. If you have any questions of your own and you didn't get through today, you can email me, techtalk@cfrb.com. I'll email you a bunch of tips that I've collected. And joining us on the line again is Paul Gillespie, who has more than 25 years of international law enforcement leadership experience under his belt, as well as Bruce Cowper. He is the security lead at Microsoft Canada. So welcome back to the show, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark.
We are going to go back to the lines in a moment, but because we're rounding off the show here and we're coming to a close, I did want to ask you each and have the opportunity to ask you each if you could summarize what the most important thing that a listener today can walk away with from this show is. What would that be? What would be the most critical thing a parent can walk away with today on this topic of child-proofing the internet? Paul?
I would say that the most important thing a parent can do to better understand what their kids are doing online is to actually spend some time with their kids online. Ask them to show them what they're doing so they better understand that. And once there, they can then help together to form some rules that, that will make that experience safer.
Mm-hmm. Great. Bruce?
And I'd actually take that one step further and not just sort of show if your kids, show your parents what you're doing, but also talk to them about who you're talking to. Show them your buddy lists. Show them your friends lists on your Facebook site, etc., so that the parents can get some idea of the types of people that they're discussing these things with, because understanding that part of it becomes very important for the parents to know exactly how their kids are communicating online as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's go to Elaine in Toronto, who is the winner of the Microsoft Digital Media Keyboard 3000 and the Windows Vista Help Desk book. Congratulations,
okay.
Elaine.
Thank you very much.
Great.
My question is, okay, what if I as a parent has put in all the child-proofing material on the computer and my child visits a friend's place whose parent has mm-hmm. not have these child-proofing things in? What do I do at that point?
Mm-hmm. Paul?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Again, as in my family, I found that my children like to go and have sleepovers at the house of the friends who have the cool parents who let them stay up all night. There are no internet rules. There are no TV rules. And typically, there's not much I can do to control that. So, again, it just involves us having those conversations with the kids, and they have to know what's right and what's wrong. Understanding kids are going to experiment, and adolescent behavior is what it is. But maybe we have to limit the activities at that child's house if there's no rules in place.
Okay.
Right,
thank
and it's thank you, Elaine. Please hold on. We'll tell you how to pick up your prize. And I agree with something you said earlier, Paul, is that we're all walking around with computers these days in our pockets. Cell phones are more and more becoming like mini computers, internet-connected computers. So you can always do so much under your own roof. But, you know, now it's not even what they're going to do at their best friend's house when they go there after school or have a sleepover, but it's what they're going to do while on the go as well, which, you know, again, so... strong parenting, the same kind of advice that you would distill in the real world, has to be applied online so that could take them with them wherever they go and wherever they surf the internet. Paul and Bruce, thank you very much for joining us this hour. Your advice has been fantastic. Thank you, guys.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mark.
And thanks to the great calls. Thank you to Microsoft and Andy Walker, an author, for providing the great giveaways. And, of course, thanks to Dean Gulandi, who served as both tech op and screener today, the multitasking machine. Good job, buddy. Stay tuned for the Buddha Lounge coming up next on News Talk 1010 CFRB.